We have new letterhead. Sometimes you just have to celebrate these little things. The masthead on our new letterhead says, Williamsburg Unitarian Universalists, a welcoming, worshiping, witnessing community. We are indeed a welcoming community. Practicing the art of hospitality every day and every Sunday, open to all seekers. And now we are an official welcoming congregation, explicit in our openness to people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. We do this because other houses of worship, despite claiming to be welcoming and hospitable, have made it explicit that they will reject these folks who are our friends, our brothers and sisters, our sons and our daughters. We are a worshiping community, honoring the infinite, the holy, the ineffable mystery through music and poetry and prayer and even sometimes through sermons. We are a witnessing community. Witnessing. What image does that word paint on the canvas of your mind? Witnessing. You come out of the Farm Fresh one day and you see a car backing out of a parking space. It cuts the corner a little bit too close and scrapes the back of the car next to it. Witnessing. You're called to testify in court about what you saw that day in the parking lot. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Witnessing. Ding dong. You open the door. Two ladies in their Sunday dresses are standing at your doorstep, colorful copies of the Watchtower in their hands. Witnessing. These are all different ways to witness, and each is helpful in shaping our understanding of what it means for the Williamsburg Unitarian Universalists to be a witnessing community. What's that? I hear somebody's fundamentalist button going off. Are you nervous that the new ministers are going to ask you to distribute UU tracts into your neighborhood? Don't worry. That comes in 2 weeks when I preach about evangelism. Now, witnessing at its most generic level just means to see something. You observe an event. Or you provide evidence based on something you know. You speak the truth as best you know it. And this is also witnessing. A lot of religious witness sounds like this, only it's usually about truths that are vastly more important than what happened in a traffic incident in the parking lot. Religious people declare what they believe to be true about things that are important to them, like love and justice, wholeness and health. This is a long way from observing a fender bender in the grocery store parking lot, but there is still something missing in this definition. None of these descriptions really gets all the way to the bottom of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist witnessing community. Because a UU witnessing community does not just observe. It does not just give testimony. It does not just proclaim a particular truth, even when that truth is about something of the utmost importance. To be a witnessing community is a high spiritual aspiration. To be a witnessing community is to live life in a way that bears witness to our most treasured values. To embody our message rather than simply speaking it. bearing witness, like bearing weight, bearing a child, bearing pain, often involves difficulty, inconvenience, and even risk. And why would anyone take that on? Our lives are often painful, inconvenient, and difficult as it is. So maybe we're willing to just read about an issue, maybe join a discussion group, but changing the way we live, that's asking a lot. That's asking for a big leap. So what is it that's going to prompt that first muscle to twitch and then move? How are we going to move from talking witness, witness in the abstract, to a living witness, an embodied witness? Consider this story. It's about a group of friends in Scotland. Drinking buddies they are, and hiking buddies. They are lamenting the lack of any real woodlands in the Scottish border hills. Centuries of clear-cutting and raising sheep have made those hills bare. So one day they're in the pub drinking, and they're talking about how nice it would be to have woodlands, not just for shade, you know, for their own comfort, but for the biological diversity and for the complexity of life it'll bring back to those hills. Couldn't we bring native wildwood back to this whole valley, they asked themselves. And then what they did next was completely and extravagantly unreasonable. After all, these people had jobs, they had families to take care of, but they did it anyway. They spent the next 2 years trying to find a suitable property to buy. They spent the next 2 years raising money to buy that property. They spent 2 more years researching all of the native species that thrived on that land thousands of years ago. They spent another year on top of that, recruiting very healthy, hardy volunteers to plant trees on a steep hillside. And then, finally, infant willows, tiny hazels, young birch began to sprout. How did these individuals move from talking witness to living witness? Well, they allowed themselves to be affected by the living witness of the barren hills that they loved. They also allowed themselves to be affected by the talking and living witness of other people. These people are everywhere. They seem to be, though, speaking kind of an archaic language. They seem to be guided by a faith that we can no longer feel. And so these teachers pass right in front of us every day. Often they are labeled extremists, fanatics, dreamers, or at least people who are really wasting their time. A man sits on a porch and waits, shotgun across his lap, sits beside a man he does not know, to face a flock of cowards wearing sheets whom he knows far too well, bearing witness. A small yet dedicated group of WUUs examine the way they live their lives, reflect humbly on their impact on the earth, and start to change the way they live their lives. Bearing witness. The UU congregation in Fresno, California, builds a $4 million building, becomes the first church in the state to comply with environmental standards. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars over budget. There were mounds of paperwork to contend with. In the minister's words, it was a truckload of trouble, but our faith calls us to do it. Bearing witness. The earth, too, bears witness to the sanctity and unity of life. When we can finally quiet our minds and enter the sanctuary of nature, enter it with reverence, we can receive the truth about the interconnected web. It no longer is just those string of letters pressed hard in our hymnals. It actually becomes a live thing that we feel in our bodies. It's an experience in the body of no separation. Me, the mountain, the birds, the rain, the wind, no separate self. On the night before the Buddha achieved enlightenment, he was struggling with doubt and anxiety. So he called for help. He reached out his right hand and he touched the earth. And he asked the earth to bear witness to his struggles to become fully awake, to become fully enlightened. We all need help in waking up. Even the Buddha needed help. And the earth helps us by bearing witness to the sanctity and the unity of life. The earth also bears witness to the spiritual dis-ease of humanity. It is just as spiritually sick or as spiritually healthy as we are. Humanity's illness in these times is our delusion of separateness. Albert Einstein observed this when he said, "A human being is a part of the whole called the universe, yet he experiences himself as thoughts and feelings, as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires, to our affection for a few personal friends. Our task must be then to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circles of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature. Open your eyes and open your hearts to bearing this kind of witness by the earth, by other people, wherever you can find it, and it will change the way you live your life. Now, bearing witness requires a body. As I've said, it is embodied. And earth has a body, a gorgeous, gorgeous body. The astronaut Edgar Mitchell got to see it from an angle that we will only see in photographs. Suddenly, behind the rim of the moon, he describes, in a long, slow-motion moment of intense majesty, there emerges a sparkling blue and white jewel, a delicate sky-blue sphere laced with slowly swirling veils of white, rising gradually like a small pearl in the dark mystery. That body bears witness to humanity's delusion of separateness. It shows on her skin like an open wound. If you like to sit in the window seat as you're flying, you can see this. You look down and you can see the wounds, clear cutting of trees, mountaintop mining, industrial runoff, huge lots cleared for new homes, acres of sod instead of trees, glistening pools of water that animals cannot drink from. The earth bears witness to humanity's delusion that we can separate ourselves from the natural world, that we can control it, take it, use it up. Happily, the earth also bears witness to humanity's spiritual well-being. Imprinted upon her skin is evidence that human beings are finally beginning to wake up to the truth of the interdependence of the web of all existence. evidence that people are living with deep knowledge that they are connected to all things. So streams are beginning to sing, and animals are roaming freely, finding food and shelter in abundance. In London, the world's largest urban forest sits in the midst of 9 million residents. 17,000 acres of forest, 65,000 trees. City residents are welcoming falcons as their new neighbors, and they're waking up to the sound of owls. Fish are swimming in the Thames, and even salmon have been spotted in the estuaries. When we strive to be spiritually healthy people, that health is reflected in the land, and it is also reflected in our brothers and sisters. It starts here on Sunday mornings. It continues when you go out to lunch or meet in your small groups. You keep talking about your deeply held values, the stuff that makes your heart sing, the stuff that makes your heart break. If you discipline yourself not to spend too much time on abstract conversation, then muscles will start to twitch, and you will start to move your body. The way you have lived your life will start to bear witness to what you hold most dear. And then someone will see the way you live. And then she will be affected. She will sit down with a few friends, maybe at the pub. They will begin to start thinking extravagantly unreasonable thoughts. They will start saying extravagantly unreasonable things. Muscles will begin to twitch. Trees will be planted. Burning crosses will be averted. Hearts will soar and the earth will sing. May it be so. Amen.